This morning, I want us to look at some things that hopefully we already know. But we want to refresh our memories. We want to look at things everyone ought to know. Some things everyone ought to know. I don't have time to tell you all the things everyone ought to know, so we'll just deal with some of the things that everyone ought to know. I heard a little report about the fact that the younger generations don't know about some of the things that the older generations know. Most of these young people have never seen an 8-track player. Most of them never realized that there were shows on radio before there were shows on TV. They can't imagine what it was like to only have one television station. They're shocked when they find out that TVs used to be in black and white. There are a lot of things like that. And this fellow was talking about some of those things. He mentioned some things like Gilligan and Barney Fife, and a lot of young people, they don't know about these things, even though, of course, those things are still on in reruns all over the place, but they don't know about them. And so he had a whole little spiel about there's some things that everybody ought to know, and he went through a whole slew of things. I don't know exactly how many a slew is, but he went through a slew of them. He had a whole list of things that, well, everybody ought to know about this and ought to know about that. And all of them were things from pop culture from years back. And I thought, well, why should everybody know those things? What difference does it make if people know who Joe DiMaggio was? What difference does it make if people know who Gilligan or Barney Fife were? For people that lived through those times and experienced those things, that remember those things, and as we continue to go, we're making memories that the future generations won't have. But it doesn't really matter if we pass those things on. Alex and Philip, too, we talk about, sometimes we talk about the shadow. The shadow knows. But you know what? It doesn't matter if a whole generation grows up not knowing that the shadow knew anything, not knowing anything about the shadow or anything else, even though they were an important part of our growing up and even of our adulthood, some of us. These things. And then as we move on along to the younger generation, there are things that they're going to go, their kids are going to think the same thing of them that they think of us. And their grandkids are going to think the same thing about them that they think of their grandparents. You know, that, oh, you know, it's just those old-fashioned things. But the fact of the matter is, those things are not the things that everybody ought to know. Oh, it's not a problem if you do know some of those things. But there are some things that everybody ought to know, regardless of what generation they grew up in. And those are the things that have to do with their spiritual life. Because the physical world all around us, the culture all around us, it changes. And it's been changing. I'm sure that no one here knows that much about what happened in the late 1800s. It was before your time. And you may know a few historical facts. I mean, most of us know things like about Abraham Lincoln and his being assassinated. We know about the Civil War, and we know some of those things. We know about some of those things. We know about World War I. Even though we didn't experience those things, if people talked about them and still talk about them. Obviously, you couldn't have had a World War II if you didn't have a World War I first, and now people are worried about a World War III. But those things, even though, you know, the old saying, you know, whoever doesn't learn from history is doomed to repeat it, well, it's good to learn from history. It's good to learn some historical things. We have coming up this week on Thursday, Veterans Day. Veterans Day is not a big holiday that a lot of people celebrate as much as perhaps they used to. And yet, it's an important holiday for our country. The fact that we celebrate those soldiers who were willing to give their lives, or at least risk their lives, so that we could have the freedoms we have. But even something like that, even Veterans Day or Memorial Day, even those things are not things that everybody ought to know. Oh, it's good to know those things, and it can be a benefit to people to remember those things and to remember those who have given for them. Hopefully we're always thankful for those, whether it be in the military or whether it be the law enforcement or whatever other area where people give in service, fire department, and all those, you know, there's some real heroes in those lines of work. Some very important things are done, but someone could live their entire life and never know about any of those things and still be okay. But there are some things that everyone ought to know. Let's look at a few of them. We're not going to go into great detail because what time did we start? It's already 11:45. Hey, 10:45. Okay. All right. I didn't think I'd been going for an hour already. Somebody didn't set the clock back this morning. But be that as it may, it is 15 till. So, and again, we're not going to cover all of the things we ought to know. There are some details involved with each of these general statements that need to be examined further, and we don't have time to do that. But first of all, everyone ought to know that there is one God, and Jesus is His only Son. Everyone ought to know that. Unfortunately, of the world's nearly 7 billion people, most of them maybe have heard something about it, but they don't believe it. The vast majority of people do not believe there is one God, do not believe that Jesus is His only Son. And yet that's something that everyone ought to know. Everyone ought to know that, as Paul said, there are no gods which are made with hands. There is one true and living God. He talked to those people on Mars Hill after he'd looked at all their altars and they had that one to the unknown God, and he said, "This is the true living God, and you don't even know anything about Him." And we've got a lot of people living in this world. Even a lot of people who call themselves Christians living in this world who don't know that there is one God and that Jesus is His only Son. Where are they going to learn it? Well, they're not going to learn it on their own. Now, while it is true that the book of Romans and Psalms as well, Psalms talks about the heavens declaring the glory of God. Romans talks about those who don't believe in God, don't know their God. They're without excuse because all around us we see His power and the evidence of His existence. But that doesn't tell us anything about God. So, how are they going to learn about God? Well, it's going to be up to us to teach them. They're not going to figure it out on their own. Of course, the Bible is the only true source of knowledge about who God is and what He wants you to do. Everybody ought to know that. Unfortunately, there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of religions throughout this world, and the vast majority of them have their own holy book that they study and that they believe to be special, and they have never read the Bible. How are they going to learn about that? How are they going to know that the Bible is the only source of knowledge about who God is and what He wants them to do? Oh, they might just accidentally have a Bible handed to them, or they might find one somewhere and pick it up and start reading it in their own language. I suppose that's possible. But that's not very likely. Most likely, they're going to have someone teach them. And that someone is going to have to be sent, which involves money, which involves someone willing to go, which involves someone teaching that person what they need to teach and how they need to do it. There's so many things involved there. But everyone needs to know that the Bible is the only source of knowledge. God, who in times past spoke through the prophets, divers times and divers manners, Hebrews tells us, all these different ways, but in the last days He's spoken to us by His Son. There are a lot of people still waiting for a vision. They're waiting for a message. God has spoken to us through His Son, and it's recorded in His Word. And that's where we have to go to find that information. Our feelings, our thoughts, the society's morals and ethics is not a good judge of what God wants. What you see on TV and movies about who God is, not a good source of information. What you hear people say about God and about what God wants them to do or wants you to do, not a good source of information. People say all kinds of things, even religious people. Even people who study the Bible still say things that are not based in the Scriptures. Well, I think God would think this is okay or that's okay. And, well, where'd you get that? Well, I just think that. When we start thinking that we know what God would think without going to what He said He thinks, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. Paul got himself into a lot of trouble that way, didn't he? He says at one point, I thought that I should do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And he did. He was out there killing Christians, arresting them, putting them in jail, holding people's coats while they killed Christians. He was doing everything he could to destroy Christianity because he thought it was what God wanted him to do. When we think, our own thoughts get us into a lot of trouble. Kids sometimes will come up to me, well, I thought, I said, I don't pay you to think. And God didn't pay us to think. He pays us to listen to His thoughts, not to think our thoughts. Isaiah records for God that His thoughts are above our thoughts as the heavens are above the earth. That's a long way. That's a pretty big difference. And sometimes we read the Bible and we see things that He commanded and we don't fully understand it. We don't have to fully understand it. There are some things that our human minds can't fully understand. But we can know some things. And that's what we're talking about today, what we need to know. Well, once we've established that the Bible is the source of knowledge about who God is, and what His will for us is, then as we look at that Bible, then we can learn some things that people ought to know. Everyone ought to know. We can learn that He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves everyone else out there. He loves every human being on this earth. He created us, and because of that, we're special to Him. Jesus tells us that even a little sparrow doesn't fall to the earth without the Father knowing about it. Well, if a little sparrow doesn't die without God knowing it, He said, you're of more value than many sparrows. He didn't say how many. Maybe two or three. I don't know. But you're more valuable than a bird. That's something our society needs to know. That's not on my list, but boy, we need to learn that human life is more valuable than animal life. Or plant life, for that matter. There's so many people that are trying to somehow make us equal to the animals or less important than animals, and that's... There they go thinking again. That thinking will get you in trouble. But He loves you. John 3:16 talks about how much He loved us. He loved the world so much He gave His only begotten Son. And we talked about that. Jesus is that only begotten Son that He gave. He loved us that much. Do you realize that most of the people in the world do not believe in a God who loves them? Most of the people and most of the religions in the world teach about gods who are mean, angry, vengeful, spiteful, jealous and envious. And I know the Bible talks about God being a jealous God as well. But His love overcomes that jealousy to a certain degree. His willingness to extend mercy and grace to us. But there are a lot of religions that don't believe that at all. The God that they worship is not that kind of a God. The God they worship is one that they constantly have to be worried that He's going to do something mean to them just because He would enjoy doing it. If you go back and read the Greek and Roman myths about their gods, you see what kind of picture people have, and people still have to this day, about supernatural beings. They thought the gods were sitting around up there using people as little pawns in a game. They were just playing with them. And well, we'll start a war over here with these two groups and see which one can kill how many of the other one. And then we'll get this person to fall in love with that one, but then that one to fall in love with somebody. And they thought that that was the kind of thing that a God would do. Because they took all of the worst traits of humanity and said, wow, that's what God must be like. The old saying that God created man in His image, but then man returned the favor. And that's exactly what humans have done. They've tried to make God like one of them. Try to make God have the same faults and flaws that they have. But that's not the God that the Bible describes. He loves you. But having said that, heaven and hell are real. God wants you in heaven, but if you disobey Him, if you rebel against Him, you refuse to know Him, He will send you to hell. And we've got on the opposite extreme. Most of the religions in the world don't believe in a God that loves and is merciful and gracious. On the other side, you have many who call themselves Christians and many of the denominational world who portray a God who is just like a great big candy dispenser. And He just gives no matter what. And He doesn't care what you do or how you act. Doesn't even care if you believe in Him. He'll still love you and give you all these goodies. And that's not reality either. Does God love you? Yes. Does God want you to go to heaven? Yes. But He created a hell. He initially created it for the devil and his angels. But those who take sides with the devil and his angels are going to get to spend time. In fact, all eternity with the devil and his angels. If that's who you want to be with, that's who God will let you be with. People need to know that. It's an amazing thing when polls are done here in the United States. Some 80 to 90%, depending on the given poll, 80 to 90% of the people polled believe in a heaven where everything's going to be wonderful. In that same poll, you ask them if they believe in a hell, only about 30% believe in a hell. So there's about 50 to 60% of the people who think there's a wonderful heaven where everybody gets to go, but they think there's no alternative. There was a time in our society when preachers pounded on hell and talked about the wrath of God and God's vengeance and things like that, to the point that people about wondered if it was even possible to get to heaven. But then there was a swing the other direction. And now we live in a society where there's so much talk about God's love and mercy and grace that people have forgotten that hell even exists. And people say, oh, well, God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Well, then why did He make it and promise that He would? Is He a liar? Oh, but see, the problem is they haven't gone to that source of information about who God is. We've got to know that. We're out of time. So let me just mention these three real quick. God wants you in heaven. But everybody ought to know there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus built only one church for those He saves. One church. You can look it up in Matthew 16. He built that one church for those that He saved. And there is only one way into that church that He built. That's through following His directions. So sometimes, I think some people think that they're going to just die and then they're going to be at judgment day or whatever, and they're just going to storm heaven's gates and break through and go in anyway. That's not going to work that way. They don't know how strong God is. There's a reason we call Him Almighty. Because if He doesn't want to let you through the door, you're not getting through the door. He's told us how to go. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. He built only one church for those He saves. And there's only one way, His way, to get into that church. It's interesting, in Acts chapter 2, it says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. People didn't get to get in however they wanted to. They had to come the way Jesus wanted them to come. And Jesus told us how to come. If we read His book, we'll know how to get there. Anyone who doesn't believe in Jesus, He said, except you believe I am He, you'll die in your sins. So if you don't believe in Him, you won't get there. Anyone who's not willing to repent of their sins, He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So these folks all around us, they said, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I don't think He'd send me to hell for this or that or the other thing. Jesus said, if you don't repent of your sin, you will perish. There's not a doubt about it. Then we've got to be willing to confess Him. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you are ashamed of me, if you will not confess me before men, then I'll be ashamed of you. I won't confess you before my Father. Then He also commanded that we be obedient to Him. Submit to His command. You know, it's an amazing thing. There are, all throughout the Bible, there are times when God gave commands that had no real purpose other than to see if people would obey. Just to see, will you obey me or not? When He told the children of Israel to march around Jericho, Do you really think that marching around the city is going to make the walls fall down? No. It didn't have anything to do with any real strategy of war. It had to do with, do you trust me? Will you obey me? When he told Naaman to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times to cure his leprosy, do you think people today who have leprosy, if they went and dipped in the Jordan River 7 times, they'd be cured of their leprosy? No! There is nothing about the water in the Jordan River that will cure people from their leprosy. The question was, do you believe me? Will you obey me? Now, there are some things, like believing in Jesus, that make sense to us. There are some things, even like repenting of your sin, or even confessing Him, we say, well, that makes sense. But then we come to baptism, and Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And we say, what does getting dunked in water have to do with salvation? Nothing, except that that's what God said do. See, if God had said stand on your head for 20 minutes, then that would have been what we were supposed to do. If He'd have said jump off a cliff, I'm glad He didn't say that. If He'd have said jump off a cliff, then that would have been what we were supposed to do. If He'd have said jump up and holler and run around town 3 times, then that would be what we were supposed to do. But what He did was He said, you be dipped, plunged, immersed in water to have your sins washed away. That's how you show me that you believe in me. You really believe in me? Then do what I say. You really love me? Obey my commandments. Even the ones that don't really make a lot of sense to you. See, that's where the real test comes. The ones that make sense to us, those don't prove anything. If we decide, well, you know, I'm not going to get drunk because I don't like the way I feel, and I don't like having a hangover, and alcohol, and so I'm not going to drink. Well, that doesn't mean anything to God then. I mean, that's glad you don't drink if that's your reason, but that's not the reason. See, the real question comes when it's something that I don't understand, if it's a sin that I enjoyed and got pleasure out of, that's the one that I've got to quit to show God I really believe in Him. When it comes to baptism, and they say, well, it doesn't make sense that I need to be dunked in water. What difference does that make? That's the difference it makes, is that it shows those people who are willing to do what God said, even when they don't understand why, and those who think they can figure out their own way to do things. So that's that final step that gets you into the church. Of course, just like the church building has a front door, it has a back door. And just like the church that Jesus built has a door, He said, I am the door. And I am the way, the truth, and the life as well. And He said, no one comes to the Father but by me. But guess what? Once you get there, you slip right out the back door. You don't have to stay in. You can jump out a window. You can go back out the front door if you want to. You don't have to stay. Jesus doesn't force us to obey Him. He gives us the choice. Will we obey Him or not? Now, these are just a few things that everyone ought to know. There's a God and He loves you, and the Bible tells us all about Him and what He wants us to do. There's a heaven and hell, and God wants you to go to heaven. And He's provided a way, one way. Not a dozen ways, but one way through His Son, Jesus Christ, who built a church for the saved and puts the saved in it. We didn't have time to even start talking about anything specific about that church. But all those churches out there, Jesus only built one. And once again, a lot of the things that he commanded the church to do fall in that same category there like that baptism does. It's one of those things where it didn't necessarily matter one way or the other, whatever God chose. But once he chose, then it matters. See, God could choose whatever he wanted to choose to be the requirement. But once he established the requirement, then nobody else has a choice about it. That's the amazing thing about God. He could have said anything he wanted to say were the rules. Aren't you glad he didn't say you have to have $1 million to get to heaven? But boy, I tell you, we'd be out there trying to make some money then, wouldn't we? But he said, if you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, if you repent of your sins, you'll confess him as the Son of God, you'll be buried with him in baptism to wash your sins away and rise to walk a new life, being faithful until death. Not just faithful for a couple of years or for 10 or 15, but faithful till death. Do you know the things you ought to know? Have you been helping others who don't know those things to know those things? One day, some of our friends and neighbors may stand next to us at Judgment Day, and as we're parted right and left, and they're parted to the left, and then they look back at us and say, if you knew all these things, why didn't you teach me the things I ought to know? If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, either to respond initially to his will, submit to him in initial obedience to the gospel, or if as a Christian you haven't been learning the things you ought to know or haven't been teaching others those things, you may need to respond to the invitation as we stand and as we sing.